Kia ora, you're listening to Waiheke Radio, and today I've got Manama Davidson, who's the co-leader of the Green Party, and Helen White, who's spokesperson for Labour for Auckland Central. They have just been judging a fossil-free Santa Parade, which is the first one of its kind on Waiheke. And so how was that as a judging experience?
Hard. They were all so fantastic, and we felt very limited, only being able to choose three. But it was wonderful to get a taste of what the community cares about and what the community have been putting their fantastic efforts into. So it was wonderful.
Lovely.
Yeah, I guess that there was a real sense that people are engaged in these things for more than one day a year, and this is their chance to kind of showcase them. And you can see things like people had brought along wheelbarrows full of vegetables from their community gardens, and it's just a place that's got an amazing connection to that kind of real local engagement. It's actually pretty special.
Lovely. And what was your favourite?
Oh, there was this beautiful one which won the Creativity Prize, and it was called Walking with Trees, is that right?
Tree Hill.
It was a beautiful kind of teepee that had been made, and then children had decorated it, and there were children that were, they were completely adorable children sitting in it, so it was hard to go past.
And we also judged another winner was the Piritahi Childcare group. They had a waka, which I should have mentioned, and the awards has actually been around for a long time. So I love that notion of recycling and reusing the beautiful taonga of that waka, which goes right into the theme and the kaupapa of the parade. And I also had a special mention for the Pimp My Pram Waiheke babies, and they turned their prams. These prams, of course, had the babies born in the last year on Waiheke, and they turned their prams into tohora and dolphins and creatures of the sea, which I thought was really creative as well.
Oh, lovely. Well, it's lovely that you came over here to judge this. We really appreciate it. It's lovely that you've come. And okay, so let's talk politics.
Yeah.
So, Manama, what's it like to be co-leader of the Greens? Is that very different?
Yes, absolutely. So I became co-leader in April this year. So it's been about 8-9 months now, and it was a 1,000 times step up than from being an MP, and particularly in a partnership in government with Labour and New Zealand First. So our work, you know, and our focus is to try and improve economic, social and environmental outcomes, and that's what the Greens have signed up to with Labour. That's what's called our confidence and supply agreement, with our top 20 priorities across those three areas. And so I'm really pleased. What it is like is that you've got three political parties, each having to negotiate every single point. And the fact that we have come out with these incredible wins over the year has been a real sign that we're working together while also trying to maintain our own independence. But that takes a lot of negotiation, discussion, debate among the three of us, and that takes up the large part of my particular role as co-leader as well.
Mm. Well, that's really interesting. And what are some of those wins or priorities that you're just thinking, I'm so pleased that we're in government, that we're able to work on some of these things?
I mean, I never thought I would see an end to offshore oil and gas exploration. And that is one of the things that the Green Party has been campaigning on since we were even a movement, long before we even had MPs in Parliament at all. The increase into conservation funding, the biggest increase that we've seen in, I think it's 16 years, millions and millions of extra resource to be able to help better protect our indigenous biodiversity, which actually around the world is a massive problem. And I have to mention Jan Logie's push in domestic violence and protections in the workplace. We now have an extra 10 days of leave a year for people to deal with situations of domestic violence in their households and families, and an incredible funding investment into public transport, again, which is part of both our climate mitigation, but also our economic sustainability. We need cheaper, affordable and more efficient public transport, especially in Auckland, but actually everywhere. And of course, achieving housing, rental, better renting rights. It's just a small little bit of what we're achieving in government from the Greens' perspective in terms of what our priorities are.
Well, it seems really tremendous. Now, can we, as you've just raised housing, what kinds of wins are we going to see in housing? Because I see a lot of works being done by Labour and the Greens in that space. Do either of you want to comment on that?
I just wanted to first of all comment on how proud I am of the issue about the deep sea drilling, because that is something that when you're going around and you're campaigning and people ask you and you say the policy is that they will stop it and you're concerned it might not happen because of the kind of precariousness of how you have to form a government, and it's just such a commonality in the Green Party and the Labour Party how important that is, and it's just been so nice to have it happen. It sort of feels like it's the beginning of a very different way of operating. So sorry to not answer your question, but
it's
just been a fantastic thing to have happen.
I think what's quite interesting as well, just in terms of what you were saying for DOC funding, certainly in local government we can feel the difference of DOC being a lot more proactive, a lot more offering of resources, a lot more engaged, rather than simply managing resources as public access ways.
It's an attitude change, and people can take that in a positive or negative way, but it's an actual ethos change and it changes the way people think. And I remember that from years ago when there was such a vicious approach in the employment law, and then we got a Labour government and it was like, honestly, I work in that area, and it was like the sun had come out, where people were actually being encouraged to work with each other and act in good faith. And it feels like that again for me now, that we are just in a time of actually reassessing what we need, and obviously housing is one of the biggest issues for people. We've just ignored it for years and years and years. This is a significant part of whether you have a nice life or a horrible life. You have to be able to live in the inner city, because that's where you're working, and you need to have a decent quality of life even if you're not on a fortune. And that links in with things like transport, and it links in with the environment.
So do you think these changes will be good for Auckland? Because Auckland's housing problems are out of control.
They are out of control.
It's a hell of a big thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Helen's hit the nail on the head when we talk about a change of attitude. That's the driving force behind all of the policy levers that we're now hitting. So, for example, this government admits at the least that there is a crisis, and that was the first big step. And so you have Minister Phil Twyford, who I'm so glad to be working close with, for a start saying we will not be selling off state houses, and that was a big change, and increasing the public house building program. What I want to see us carry through with are fairer rights for tenants, people who rent. At the moment there's a power imbalance, and we need to, yes, increase supply, but I'm really glad that we have banned letting fees, for example. The Greens are very clear. We also need to see an enforced warrant of fitness to make sure that our homes are healthy, warm and safe. And we also would like to see for some sort of rent controls until we get this Auckland market under control. We're going to have to really think about how we keep people are earning wages or have household incomes that cannot keep up with rents or mortgages. So we're going to have to, and that's going to continue for a long time, so we're going to have to really think about what sorts of interruptions we can put to try and put some control on over that. Otherwise we will see more and more and more people struggling. We just had the Child Poverty Monitor report out last week. 100,000 children not living with dignity. Look, there's no excuse for why that should be happening in this relatively wealthy country. And a lot of that is around housing costs and low wages and low household income.
Yeah, and on the island there's a special problem that, of course, people rent out their houses, but then they kick people out months in the summer. And, there are some really significant problems around that. And again, it felt like they were just being ignored. I remember at the debate at the radio station last year, there was an issue that came up, and Nikki Kay was talking about how, well, we're feeding all these children. And I said, I'm not sure it's actually something you should be proud of, that you are having to feed the children breakfast because their parents aren't earning enough and their housing costs are too high. So it's that change in attitude, that it's not a giving out a handout to people. It's an actual right to a bit of security, and it doesn't matter if you don't own your house.
Yeah. I completely agree. I cannot believe that people are allowed to speculate on housing, and also that so much housing stock lies empty in Auckland as well as
thousands
on Waiheke.
And thousands of homes.
But the other interesting thing is, again, about this rent control, because sometimes we get people renting a place on Waiheke, and when they move in they can afford it, but if the landlord puts up the rent $50 and then 6 months later by another $100, then it suddenly becomes unaffordable. And so that rent control is really key in my view, to say you can't put it up by more than inflation within a year. I mean, it seems obvious, but for some reason nobody wants to really kind of get stuck into that space.
It's seen as a bit evil. The Greens, our policy was an example, is when you sign up to a tenancy agreement, you have an agreed formula of how you are going to increase your rent, so that the tenants know beforehand, over a year, what their rent increases are roughly going to look like. Even having that sort of security would, I think, go a long way for people being able to put down roots. At the moment, we've got incredible transients, particularly for women with children, some moving up to 7 times over a couple of years. That's just not sustainable for children to stay connected to their communities. So yes, we absolutely do, and I've been quite vocal about it, need to really consider some sort of rent control system. The Residential Tenancy Act review has just finished. We've had some consultation, so I'll keep working with the minister on what we might be able to come up
lovely.
With.
Yeah. And capital gains tax, can we talk about that? Because I think that's another one.
Absolutely. The Tax Reform Working Group has just finished their work. We'll keep pushing. What it is, whether it's a capital tax or something that's going to stop the investment imbalance and the speculation is ridiculous. In Christchurch, there was one house which added a whole 6 figures in 1 day of sale. So it was a flip. Just buying it, selling it, same day, 6 figure increase, minimum $100,000 increase. That's unacceptable. That's why we are facing incredible housing costs at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, the key is speculation. It doesn't matter how we address it, we just need to address the fact that people speculate with housing.
It was very interesting, actually, how much of that was going on, and there was sort of a blind spot to a whole lot of things that were, it was almost seen as not cricket to actually police those things and hold people to account if they made a profit like that. So again, it's about the ethos of the government waking up to those things and treating people fairly, rather than seeing this something that is somehow legitimate. It's not legitimate. And it just, so that's the first step.
It is a challenge when a lot of the voters will be property owners, and when a lot of the parliamentarians are also property owners.
There's an imbalance. At the moment, out of 120-something MPs, I think there's only 4 or 5 of us at the most who don't own a home, who are still renting. And in fact, there are more MPs who own several properties. There are quite a number of MPs who own upwards of 10 plus properties. And so no, that is not representative. But what I'm seeing, including in Waiheke, is a change coming from community are being more awake and saying, actually, that's not acceptable. We need to rethink our values, and we need to understand that sort of driving over, stamping over people for the sake of profit is just not acceptable. And I'm seeing that come from the grassroots communities. And the parade today, what I love, is that we're taking this Christmas thing, which didn't originate in Aotearoa, and we are turning it into what it means for our community. So I know that Helen needs to get some words in before we say farewell to you.
That's
so
fantastic.
I have
listening.
One last question then. So we have a Wahine who's the leader of our country now. What do you make of that? What changes are you noticing both within the Labour Party, Helen, and also you've been in a government that was led by a man and now a woman? Does it make any difference? Or
of course it makes a difference. And when, in fact, the pregnancy was announced, it was just, you know, we hadn't even sort of had the dared to think that that could happen, and immediately it becomes part of a framework that changes the way people think about themselves. So yeah, it's a wonderful thing. But so is, I was just thinking about what you were saying, Marama, about the issue with renting. As generations come in, and they will now, there'll people flood into this area, and they're definitely flooding into the party, getting involved. That changes because the new generation don't own their houses, because there's a whole different way of thinking about things like the environment. So it's also seeing generational change. So it's, yeah, it's fantastic.
Cool, thank you. So Helen's going off to get the ferry, and I'm just going to finish talking to Marama.
Kia ora. The change with having a Prime Minister who is this incredible woman, working mother, leading with compassion and kindness, has been monumental. And I immediately thought of our own Minister of Women, our Green MP Julian Genta, our little baby Joaquin. We call him our Green baby. We're all very doting aunties and uncles in the Green Party. I mean, he sits in the middle of our caucus meetings. He's been breastfed in the House, as have many other babies in this Parliament. The Speaker holds the babies in the Speaker's seat two at a time when he can, has many, you know. This is just a signal change. It heralds a whole new understanding of who should be in leadership, of who that House should represent, of how that House should uphold babies and families, and that's been an incredible influence on the mood of the country. And we're lucky in the Greens to have our own Minister of Women with her baby remind us every day of what on earth we are doing this job for and what we are about. So I think that's been one of the most important symbolic changes that we have seen ever, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to say I agree. Having walked down the corridors of Parliament, and you have to walk and walk and walk before you can see a picture with any women in it of parliamentarians, and then you walk and walk and walk some more, yeah. And now it's a bit more populated with women,
sure,
but
is.
The ethos and the culture still seems quite masculine.
It is a patriarchal system that we work in Parliament. It has come from a Westminster imperial patriarchal system. So we are those of us in there are trying to, from within the system, tweak that quite a bit wherever we possibly can. But the nature of politics needs a clean-up. And earlier this year I talked about getting big money out of politics as part of that clean-up. And we need to understand that the democratic system needs to be accessible for all people, not just for those with big bucks who can lobby quietly in the hallways without the rest of the people knowing about it. And so that's part of the patriarchal nature of this democratic system that we are trying to change, and actually saying to people, this is your House of Parliament, we are your elected representatives, we are here for you, not just for people with big money. And so I think that's something that we have to keep doing.
Mm. So I've heard the Prime Minister talk about leading with kindness. I've heard her referred to as an empathetic Prime Minister. Do you think politics is seen as confrontational.
Yeah.
Often people talk about the cut and thrust of politics as it being acceptable to be quite horrible to each other.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that is likely to change with the review suggested by Trevor Mallard? Or
I think that we are trying... No, I think that we've still got some shocking behaviours going on, actually. I think Parliament far too often focuses on issues which are distractions rather than substantial issues. We need to be focusing on people having enough to live with dignity. We need to be focusing on cleaning up our waterways and our rivers. We need to be focusing on transforming the economic system to one that doesn't try and make a profit at the expense of people and planet. In the meantime, you can have distraction politics which try and actually take people away from those substantial issues and focus on things like deportation issues, you know, and what I want to see is for those dirty politic tactics to stop being a feature of how we engage in those big issues, and instead just talk about those substantial issues that we need to be really addressing.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And do you have any other things to talk about?
I think I would love for people to continue to, like, it's all well and good for us as a government to say we are leading with kindness. We need to back that up. And so while we've still got far too many children going without shoes and food in schools, while we still have got far too many people in a health system that doesn't always cater to everybody, while we have got people living on our streets and in garages and in overcrowded homes, all of those things, we cannot really say we are leading with kindness until we've sorted all of that out. And that's going to actually take a lot more sustained pressure from communities, from grassroots communities, for us to really get the change that we want. So I think I want to thank people who have been working on these issues for far too long, and I want to encourage people to please keep it up so that we can get the most progressive changes we can.
So how can the public get involved? Because often you look at parliamentarians and you go, oh, they're so far away. How does one connect on issues that we feel strongly about? Because you don't always know that there's a, you know, parliamentary subcommittee or a submission process. Is it just that things that we feel strongly about we should just submit on?
So, I mean, yes. I mean, so while we all work in Parliament in Wellington, that every single neighbourhood and part of the country has one or several representative MPs. So get an appointment with us. Make sure you keep hounding us. I love travelling. For example, I travelled to a early childhood centre in Pukekohe a couple of weeks ago. They take on special needs children far more above and beyond what they are really funded to take, because there are desperate families and parents all over Auckland who ring them to say no other childcare will take our son or our daughter who might be autistic or something that requires extra help and attention. This childcare in Pukekohe invited me to go out and hear and see firsthand what the underfunding issues are like, what it means for families with children who need special attention, and what it means for ECE teachers in childcare centres. And there is no better way for me to connect on that issue than be able to meet and see the people in the place. So I encourage people to stay on us. There are a number of ways. There are select committees, there are writing letters to us, writing emails, having your voice on a bill or a piece of legislation. But really, we are here to meet with people and to listen and keep saying, this is my issue and I would really love to talk to you about it. And we can't see everyone all at once, but we will try and get through it as much as we can.
Kia ora. So you've been listening to Manama Davidson, co-leader of the Green Party and in Parliament. And before that, Helen White was with us and she's now left, so she's speaker for Labour in Central Auckland. Thanks so much. You're listening to Waiheke Radio.